This weekend we begin our October homily series entitled Called, and we're exploring the fact that God has called and is calling each of us. He's giving us a vocation. Without a doubt, God has called each and every one of us to be holy, to be saints. And the church is not interested in spiritual mediocrity. The church is calling us to sainthood, to be heroically virtuous in this life. And our path to that holiness, that path to sainthood, goes through a call to a particular vocation or state in life. We're made holy. We reach sainthood by responding generously to that call and by cooperating with the grace that we're given to live that call out. So in this first week, we're focusing on how Christ calls most people to follow him, and the call to marriage and to family life. But the call to marriage and family is perhaps so common that we can miss just how extraordinary that call is. And there's one dimension to this call to marriage, that dream within a dream, that I would like to focus on today. Marriage as a sign of God's love for his people. The Bible, we can say, from start to finish, is really just one great love story. From Genesis to Revelation, we see a love story of God pouring out himself in love for his people. And pay attention to how many times, especially in the prophets and in the wisdom literature, we hear that relationship of God's love with his people described in marital terms. And God being like the faithful husband who remains faithful in light of an unfaithful spouse. God waiting for his bride to return to him. Christ giving himself up in sacrificial love for the church, his bride, and so on. But what does all this tell us about marriage? Well, we learn that marriage here on earth is supposed to point to reflect that love that God has for his people. But in what way? Well, God's love is never failing. God's love is eternal. God's love does not diminish in the face of betrayal or infidelity. No matter how many times his people turn away from him, that bond of love still remains. He never ceases to love them. No matter how many times you or I turn away from him in sin, God still continues to love each and every one of us. And St. Paul says that this is a great mystery, but marriage is called to that exact same standard, that standard of unfailing love. We see this most prominently in the marriage bond itself. Nothing, no human power, divine power, can break that marriage bond. But why? It's because of what that marriage bond points to. It reflects, signifies God's love. So if God's love does not cease when people turned away from him, when people betrayed him, even when they killed his only son, if God still loves and marriage is called to reflect that love, the bond of marriage has to be like God's bond of love with each of us. It's this truth that's at the center of Christ's, albeit difficult, teaching in the gospel today. Whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery against her. And if she divorces her husband and marries another, she commits adultery. To make his point, Jesus returns to the beginning of creation, to the fact that God made them male and female. And in marriage, the two become one flesh. With all this in mind, Jesus says that what God has joined together, no one must separate. But why does Jesus insist so much on this teaching? It's because that bond of marriage is supposed to reflect that bond that, of love that God has with each of us. If no human power can break that bond, no human power can break the bond of marriage. And I agree with St. Paul. This is a great mystery. It's a hard teaching. Talk about a high standard. So we can ask, is such a standard for marriage even possible? Is this just an unrealistic expectation, a call that we can never, ever even dream of living up to? And in a certain way, we can say, of course it is. Isn't it impossible for humans to love unfailingly like God? Isn't it beyond our power to love in the face of unfaithfulness and betrayal? Of course it is. Of course, this standard is too high for us to reach. Of course, marriage is hard. Of course, not every marriage succeeds. Of course, sometimes civil divorce is a necessity for the sake of the people involved in that marriage. Of course, marriages, most unfortunately, do fail. But that's why we have the sacraments. The sacraments make marriage possible. The sacrament makes that standard reachable. The sacrament makes holiness, sainthood, achievable. Saints, in fact, have been made by living holy marriages. Even just recently, Pope Francis canonized the parents of St. Thérèse of Lisieux as examples of that sainthood lived in marriage. The Lord does not call us to a vocation without giving us his grace, equipping us with everything that we need to make that vocation lead to sainthood. Christ unites that married couple in the sacrament of marriage with his own love, his love for his church, his love that ended and is fulfilled in the ultimate sacrifice of the cross. That grace is present there in the marriage bond. It's eternal, it's perpetual, it's always ready to be called upon in this moment or in that moment to make that marriage as holy as possible. And when that grace is lived out, when couples flourish in grace, that couple truly reflects Christ's love. That love that lays down itself for the other. So in light of all of this, I have four exhortations for you. The first is, if you've been called to marriage, you are married, call upon those graces that you've received in marriage. The grace you received on your wedding day was nothing short of being united with Christ in sacrificial love. He wants to help you in your marriage. He wants you to make your love look more and more like his. He wants you to lay down your lives for each other like he laid down his for each of us. A simple prayer, Lord, help me by the grace of marriage to do this. And say it often and frequently, and it will have a good effect. Second, if you feel called to marriage but you're not married, I urge you and strongly urge you to get married in the church. The church wedding is not just about the pretty ceremony, the beautiful music, the flowers, being everything in the church looking nice. No, the greatest gift you will receive in your marriage is the gift of that grace in the sacrament. And that grace is given to you in marriage in the church. I can't stress that enough. It's nothing to overlook. Christ wants to give you this grace. Don't reject the gift. Third, if you were married outside of the church, in another denomination or in a civil ceremony, I urge you to reach out to one of us. Ask us how we can help you have your marriage convalidated or blessed in the church so that that grace that Christ wants to give you can be yours and he can lead you evermore to sanctity and holiness. It's quite an easy process. I love accompanying couples who are looking to have their marriage convalidated. It's a wonderful and beautiful thing to do, and I'd be happy to speak with you about that. And if you've been divorced and you've been civilly remarried and you want to look into having that marriage annulled, an annulment, just to kind of be clear, is not Catholic divorce. An annulment says that the bond of marriage never existed. That has to come through the diocese. But it's a process that I think on the surface can sound very troubling and concerning and maybe too much work or too expensive or, you know, too long and drawn out, bringing up, you know, old wounds and hurts and things. I encourage you to reach out to one of us, Father Jim, Father Michael, myself, Deacon Ron, Deacon Nick, any of us that can really give you some guidance there and how to go about it. As part of my formation for my pastoral year, I get to spend one day a month down at the Archdiocese in the marriage tribunal. And a couple weeks ago, had my first one of those. And I was totally struck by just how beautiful the process is, by the people who work there, how compassionate they are, how attentive they are to making that an easy as easy a process as possible, obviously, given the gravity of what's dealt with there. So I really encourage you, if any of those things apply to you, to please reach out and take advantage of the grace that God wants to give you. I just want to end with one story of something beautiful that happened when I first arrived here. That stuck with me, and I think it's one of the greatest graces that I've received, I mean, here at St. John's. The very first weekend, Father Jim preached at the 11 o'clock Mass on convalidations, and he mentioned that he preached once about a year ago on convalidation, and somebody came up to him after Mass and said, Father, this is my first time here at St. John's. I felt very welcomed here, and I want to explore having my marriage blessed in the church. Right then, he preached on it, and then it happened after Mass. So he said that in his homily. So my first weekend, I greet people back in the gathering space, and as I was talking to someone, I noticed a young woman kind of standing off a bit, and she looked very concerned and preoccupied. So as soon as I was available, she rushed up to me, and she said, Deacon, this is my first time here at St. John's. I've been church shopping. I would like to have my marriage convalidated, and I haven't had a positive experience at other parishes. Would you be interested and willing to help me? And I said, of course. I was like amazed, like this is happening right now. It was beautiful, and it's been beautiful to walk with her and to accompany her and to bring her and to see her really thrive as a member of this community. So I just encourage you that if having your marriage blessed in the church, if seeking an annulment, even if you're married and you want to look to refine some of the finer points of your married life, just to reach out and try and pull upon that grace that God has given you and wants to give you in marriage. Because Christ wants us to be saints. He wants us to give us every help that we need. So, my brothers and sisters, let's respond generously to our vocations and call upon His grace to aid us in living out how each of us has been called.